You know, we've been doing this series called the I Am's of the Book of John. And this happens to be the last in that series, the I Am's of the Book of John. And for some reason, I felt impressed to mention to you that if you remember our very first presentation in this eight-part series, clearly Jesus is delineating purposefully by saying, I am this, I am that. I am is reserved as a title for God Himself. Amen?
Amen?
And Jesus is making it very plain that He is one with the Father. He is not a created being. And so today we continue in this series called the I Am's of John. And as we look at this last part, I want you to look at this picture on the screen and think, which one of those two objects would you rather be? And while you're contemplating that, if you bow your heads with me, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment. For I anticipate your presence as powerfully now as it has been throughout Sabbath school and church. For we need to see and hear Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you take the thoughts you've given me and organize them and concise them so that in this amount of time remaining, when we leave, we will not be the same. So guide and direct by sending your Spirit and keep Satan out of here so that we can clearly hear and discern that you are speaking to us. Blessed to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. So, which one would you rather be? I think it's pretty obvious, don't you? But maybe it needs to be illustrated better. This, my friends, is one of the pine trees that were planted when the property was landscaped. You will see it did not fare very well. This is called dead. And if I left it in the ground and gave it more water or even some fertilizer, it wouldn't make any difference. This is dead. And on the screen you have a choice. You can be one or the other. And I want to help you make that decision today. And so I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John, the 15th chapter, as we continue this series and look at part 8 called, I Am the True Vine. And now I got to figure out what to do with this tree. Wait, where's one of the deacons? Oh, here you go, Cordell. If you can put it outside somewhere, that's where I got it. I unplanted it this morning. And I don't even feel bad about unplanting that. John, the 15th chapter. And let's take a look at what Jesus meant when he said, I am the true vine, and what that has to do with this dead tree. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. I want you to open your Bibles, children. And by the way, if you are a child in this church and don't have a Bible, see me after church and I'll get you one. John, the 15th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Look what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. And so, number one, I want you to look, as we look at this issue today, I am the true vine. Let's first look at point number one of the sermon, the true vine. You'll notice here that just like last week's sermon, I am not the shepherd, but instead what? I am the good shepherd, implying there are bad shepherds. Well, I want you to know that you need not miss that Jesus clearly said in verse 1, not I am the vine, but he said I am the true vine, implying there's a false vine. So take your Bibles and let's keep your finger there at 15, and let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11 and see what Jesus was trying to warn us about as we're trying to determine what he meant when he said, I am the true vine. First of all, you may not even have thought of this, like I didn't previously. The word true is there because there happens to be a false. So let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And what verse do I want? If you go to 2 Corinthians 11, take a look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an what? Angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, how many people are we talking about here, or groups? How many? How many? No. Take a look at 13. First of all, there are false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Group number one, these are the fallen angels. Okay? And I'll prove this in a second. Second group is, therefore, or no wonder for who? Satan himself turns into an angel of light. Folks, notice all this transforming going on here. Are you missing this word? In fact, look at 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Can you transform yourself? No, you can't. Do you get this? You can't transform yourself. It is absolutely impossible to transform yourself. A leopard cannot change his spot. A Ethiopian can't change his colors. The first group here is the evil angels. They come like the apostles of Christ. Even says they transform themselves, meaning you've got to deal with a false that is so like the real that unless you're connected, you will not see the difference. You hear me? Please, don't be like me in past, sitting there smugly going, no, that's not me. Mm-mm. That's not me. Because Matthew says, almost fool the very elect. And I found out it's better to walk around relying on God than smugly thinking you're one of the elect. Group number two, Satan himself comes. In fact, we know from 2 Thessalonians, he's going to fake the second coming, folks. Listen, do you think he's going to come and transform himself in a shoddy way so that all of us will immediately be alerted that it isn't Jesus? In fact, who better could mock the coming of Christ than the one who knew Him best in heaven, better than you and I knew Him, unless this book is in here. And the third group now are those that put on their pants or their dresses just like we do. Therefore, it is no great thing if His ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. Those who follow Satan in the name of Christ. Do you see the deception here? Do you see how deep and prevalent it is? Do you see that Jesus knew what He was doing when He said, not that I am the vine or I am the shepherd? Instead, He had to make it clear to us that I am the good shepherd because there's bad, and I am the true vine because there's false. In fact, let me close off point number one here by simply saying this. If you were to turn to Matthew 24, and that's the chapter that talks about the last days, am I correct? And in there are listed the signs that we are to recognize leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one of those signs is mentioned three times. Guess which one it is? There will be false Christs and there will be false prophets. For those of you who go home like the Bereans in Czech, that's verse 5, 11, and 23. Matthew 24, 5, 11, and 23. I'm going down there, I'm reading, okay, one of the very first sign that Jesus gave to His apostles and to you and I in answer to their question on the last days is do not be deceived. And then He goes down five verses and then He says, and by the way, do not be deceived. And then He goes another, or whatever it is, to verse 23, I guess that's 12 verses, and He says, do not be deceived. Why is He repeating Himself? Because we need it. We need to be reminded, folks, He is the true vine. And we must be able to discern between the true and the false. By the way, I just thought of something. You did discern that vine there. Doesn't that look pretty? Doesn't that look pretty? Well, then you're just like me. You're looking for trouble. One day I was in my backyard and we're going to build a fire for my boys to roast vegelinks on a beautiful fall day in Indiana. And I look for wood that's dry. And I happen to see those branches on the tree. The ones that have those rootlets coming out and clinging to the tree. And I was pulling those down because they were nice and thick and dry. And they broke right off. And I kept pulling them until my friend looked at me and said, by the way, you do know that's poison ivy. It's poison ivy. I'm very allergic to poison ivy. Oh, no. Jenny, what are we going to do? She says, why do you always call my name? That's poison ivy, folks. I'll tell you, if you've never had it, you need to have it one time. And then you'll enjoy and appreciate the true vine much better. For this does not inflict the wounds like I received from my experience. Number two, notice, and this I'm hoping surprises you. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Or the King James, my Father is the husbandman. And I want to give you a spin on this in case you missed it. Now take a look at that vine. And there's two things that that vine needs in order to live. What's one of them? Well, okay, water wouldn't do any good unless it had the thing that utilizes the water, roots. And number two, a vine needs a trellis. I want to show you something that I hope startles you a little bit, but really drives home the point. Let's go to John 4:34. John 4:34. Then we'll go to 5:19. Then we'll go to verse 30. Then we'll go 6:38. Then we'll go to 12:48-49, and then 16:13. I thought this was really unique, what the Lord came up with. Okay, you got it? 4:34. Look what Jesus said. Here's what He said. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Okay, hold that thought, but let's go to the next verse, 5:19, and we'll develop that a little bit. 5:19, are you there? Okay, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner.'" Are you starting to catch it? Let's take a look at verse 30 of the same chapter. Look what it says. "I can of myself" what? "Do nothing." Who's talking? Does that make sense to you? "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Whoa, let's take a look at 6:38. This is called overkill. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." And if that isn't enough, look at 12:48. Now, I hope to bring you comfort through this point. 12:48. Are you ready? "He who rejects me does not receive my words, and has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and which I should speak." Brothers and sisters, the true vine needed the Father. He needed His roots in the Father, and He needed the Father, the trellis, to support Him, because He did not come to do His own will. He came to do His Father's will. Did you catch that He doesn't speak His own words? Now, I know what you're thinking, or I hope you're thinking. You're going, "Wait a minute, Jesus is God. I and Father are one." I'm a little bit confused right now. That's all right. Now, let's just look at 16:13 and see if I can muddy up the water some more. And then we'll answer that question. "However, He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth, for the Spirit will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." The Father dictated to the Son dictated to the Spirit, and my friends, the Spirit dictates to us. And so the true vine had to rely upon his Father. And if he didn't rely upon his Father, then he was separated from the root or the trellis and would shrivel and die. And by the way, we'd all be lost. There'd be no grapes there. Where'd the grapes? I thought this was incredible. How better to explain to you what Jesus now is going to convey to all of us that's absolutely necessary by first seeing that Jesus submitted Himself to the Father, and in one text we discovered the Spirit submitted to the Son, and now it's not so difficult to swallow the pill that you and I are to submit to the Holy Spirit. Because you see, I am the true vine, but my Father is the vine dresser. He is the origin of what we need to get through this world and receive our salvation. So in spite of the fact that Jesus was the true vine, we clearly see He relied upon His Father. And that then brings us to point number 3. And let's look at John 15, verse 4 through 7. And we'll get the punchline of what Jesus wants us to receive today as we walk out the door in light of I am the true vine. He said, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in you bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you." Incredible? By the way, in the next two verses, there's three more abides. But in the ones we just read, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 abides in 4 verses. Abides. So you see, point number 2 is making more sense now. Jesus abided in the Father. In order to come here in human flesh, He had to rely upon the Father. He did not use His divine power. He did not use His godly prerogatives. Because if He did, then He had an advantage. Satan would have called Him on Him, and you and I would not be in existence right now. He had to abide in His Father as the vine has to be sunk in the ground and hang on the trellis. But now we discover, who are we? Who are we? We're the branches. And where must the branches be? In the vine. And if they're in the vine, they're going to bear fruit. Hallelujah, come on! They're going to bear fruit. Is they going to bear fruit because they went, "Oh, I got to bear fruit. Oh, come on, fruit, come on." Don't you see the work is abiding in Christ? He'll take care of the fruit. But Jesus first abided in the Father. The Spirit abided in the Son. And now we're to abide in the Holy Spirit. That's why He said, "I'm the true vine. You must cling to Me." I thought I'd illustrate this. I wasn't even afraid to do this, because tomorrow we're going to have our cleanup, and they're going to trim all the star jasmine, all the star jasmine that's growing out there on the trellis. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I cut this down because I want you to know this is about 20 different vines. When you get up to this point, how many does it look like there are? They're all intertwined, like braided hair. This is the way we're supposed to be with Jesus. We're supposed to be so intertwined with Him that I would have to sit here and separately divide this out to show how intricately they're all twined together. Look at that. Does it amaze anybody else here that the God of heaven, who is the creator of everything and in control of the whole universe, wants to be this entangled with you? That boggles my mind. See, you may look at me as your minister and see me up front with a suit on looking all special, but I look in the mirror at home and I know what God kind of sees. I don't even know what God sees, because He sees things I don't even see about myself. Why does God want to be this entwined with me? The only thing I could think of is because I'm His son. You're His daughter, you're His son. And He loves us. So let's take a look at that word abide. That word abide is meno. To stay. Now look at what the word means, to stay. In a given place or in a given state or a given relationship or a given expectancy. Abide, continual, dwell, endure, remain. That's what Jesus is telling us by saying, I am the true vine. When I brought that tree out here that died, and by the way, the reason it died is not enough people come to the cleanup. Thought I'd throw a little guilt trip on everybody. That's really not true. But see, we're coming to take care of God's house so it looks like God's house. And we don't want to look like that dead tree. And folks, I want you to experience bearing fruit, because the Bible states, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The only way you're going to bear fruit is if you abide in the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Stay in your given place, the Paradise Church, in a given state, acceptance of Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, relationship, a daily one, in which you communicate with one another, an expectancy that Jesus is coming back to take us home. And if we do that, we will succeed. Now, I want to close with a parable, hoping that maybe you never noticed you glossed right over this parable. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke, the 13th chapter, and we're going to sum it up this way. Luke, the 13th chapter. Verses 6 through 9. Are you ready? Listen to this. Jesus also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But the keeper of the vineyard said to him, "Sir, let it alone this 1 year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. And next year, there's no more to the parable. It stops there. I wonder what happened to that fig tree. But do you see the mercy of God displayed by the keeper saying, look, I've sweated over this stupid tree for 3 years. Give me one more year. And of course, the father says, you grant it. Grant it. But the question is, what did the tree do? That's the tree. That's the question for all of us today. My friends, if you want to bear fruit, which is the only thing that glorifies the Father and the only reason that we're on this earth, then you must be completely connected with Jesus and intertwined with Him. And then we'll fulfill the purpose of our existence. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for calling to our attention our need to be connected intimately with you. Lord, let decisions be made right now. Don't let anyone in this sanctuary, including me, leave here without establishing something from this with you. Because if we don't and we wait till later, Satan will come and try to take the seeds of this sermon out of our minds and hearts, and we'll go back to our old ways. Thank you for yet again having mercy on us and giving us one more year. Help us now not to squander it. And thank you for your incessant effort to save us in spite of us. For we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.